This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
We begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic. And we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who embraces the prophetic path, the prophetic teachings, with sincerity, with ikhlas, until the end of time. I begin by reminding myself, and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah, the first Jumu'ah of this blessed month of Ramadan, 1445 Hijri, I enjoin upon myself and all of you all to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of your Maker. And you must do this during every single second of your lives if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, we stand at the threshold of this noble month. A month known as the month of the Quran, a month known as the month of taqwa, the month of forgiveness, the month in which the devils are shackled, the month in which the doors of Jannah are flung wide open, a month in which the doors of Jahannam, hellfire, are slammed shut. Ramadan, my dear brothers in Islam, is not merely abstaining from food and drink. It is a time for spiritual renewal. It is a time for profound reflection. It is a time for recalibration. It is a time to rejuvenate our spirits. It is a time to get our priorities straight. It offers us a chance. It is a divine invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reset our spiritual compass and to nurture a strong connection with our Maker, with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fast that is prescribed is a shield, a protection from wrongdoing. It is a discipline for the soul. This month of Ramadan is a spiritual boot camp. It reminds us of the greater purpose in our pursuit in this worldly life towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we embrace the blessed month of Ramadan, a period of spiritual reflection, self-improvement and heightened devotion, it is crucial to understand certain practical aspects of fasting. So in the few minutes that I have with you all, I want to delve into some FAQs, frequently asked questions, that often arise during this noble month. To start things off, what breaks the fast? Eating or drinking intentionally, yes, breaks the fast. Sexual intercourse breaks the fast. Seminal fluid coming out of the body, let's say through masturbation, breaks the fast. Intentional vomiting breaks the fast. Menstruation or childbirth bleeding breaks the fast. So these are all well-known actions that break the fast. However, there are other less obvious things that you and I, we should be cautious of. In today's era, people tend to ask with regards to certain types of medications, with regards to certain types of injections. Those who have conditions like asthma, they want to know whether inhalers are allowed, or medications that need to be inhaled, are they allowed? So very quickly, I'm going to touch on a few questions and answer them, inshallah ta'ala. So using an inhaler is permissible, as it is a necessity for those who suffer from asthma. And the majority of the scholars consider it not to break the fast because the contents of the inhaler mostly reach the lungs and not the stomach. With regards to injections, you have them categorized. You have injections that don't give any nutrition whatsoever. So for example, insulin injections. Insulin regulates the blood sugar levels. It does not contain any nutritional value. So therefore, it does not break the fast. Certain vaccines, certain immunizations like the flu shot or other vaccinations do not have any nutritional component. And they're not designed to boost the body's, in the sense, nutritional value, but rather they're designed to boost the body's immune system. So therefore, they do not break the fast. Painkillers or antibiotics, again, these are administered for pain relief. They're administered to fight infections. They don't serve any nutritional purpose. And bear in mind, they're not going into the body through the regular openings, i.e. through the mouth, through the nose. So therefore, these types of injections do not break the fast. On the other hand, you have certain nutritional types of injections. You have certain IV drips that contain glucose, that contain electrolytes, and these are used for hydration, these are used for energy. These are considered to break the fast. Why? Because they provide essential nutrients directly into the bloodstream, acting as a food slash drink substitute. You also have at times certain injections and certain drips when the digestive system is non-functional, where it provides all necessary nutrients directly into the blood. So therefore, this again takes on the nature of the earlier mentioned type, and this also would be deemed as something that would break your fast. You have certain diagnostic injections. People who have to undergo certain types of scans, MRIs, CT scans, they inject a certain type of a dye into the body. Now, this is to improve the clarity of the imaging results of the scan. And again, they do not serve any nutritional purposes. Therefore, they too would not be considered as breaking the fast. So you have to understand the rationale behind it. The distinction here is based on the intention and the effect of the IV. Or the injection. If the purpose is nutritional, to substitute food and drink, then it breaks the fast. This is the simple principle here. However, on the other hand, if it is to administer medication without providing nutritional value, it generally does not break the fast. Moving on, next question. People tend to have a lot of questions about dental work. Dental work during Ramadan is a common concern. Procedures like fillings, crowns, bridges, certain adjustments, if you have to go get your braces adjusted, all of these things do not break your fast. X-rays and dental impressions do not break your fast. The precautions that need to be taken is whilst rinsing your mouth or whilst the doctor is rinsing your mouth, it is permissible to rinse the mouth during fasting hours, even during wudu, but you have to, or rather even after a dental procedure, but you must take care to avoid swallowing any water. Intentionally, you must not swallow any water. Unintentionally, some water goes in, you are excused. Similarly, when taking ablution, intentionally, you're not supposed to swallow water, but unintentionally, if a few drops of water go in, your fast is still valid and you are excused. Similarly, when undergoing dental work, if there is a need to administer anesthetics, this too would not, I mean, local anesthetics administered again in the form of injections for these dental procedures do not break the fast. So in conclusion, the permissibility of dental work hinges on ensuring that you do not swallow anything whilst the procedure takes place. It can be in the form of water or whatever the dentist is using. Intentionally, you must make sure that you do not swallow it. If you do swallow, then yes, the fast is broken and you must make up for the broken fast. But unintentionally, if a little bit goes in, you are excused. Then you have ear drops, eye drops, and nose drops, nasal drops. Ear drops generally do not break the fast as they are used locally and do not reach the stomach. You see the structure of the ear canal. Normally, the contents don't go and reach the stomach unless there is like a ruptured eardrum or there is some damage in the ear where certain drops might reach the throat. If that were to be the unique case, then it is best to avoid it. But generally speaking, it does not break the fast. Similarly, eye drops, the same ruling is applicable because it is not considered a normal route to the throat or the stomach. So therefore, it is excused. But nasal drops, nose drops, seem to have a direct connection with the throat. And that is why at times when you administer nose drops or nasal drops, you tend to feel the aftertaste of it in your throat. Why? Because it tends to go in. So therefore, this is best to be avoided. But if there is a dire condition where you absolutely have to take it, then there is permissibility. But you must make sure that you sit upright and do not allow any drops to go to your throat. And if you do feel some drops may have gone into your throat, then it is best to make up that fast. But on the other hand, if you do not feel anything, then your fast is safe and intact. So eyes and ears, not an issue. But with nasal drops, you have to apply a little bit of caution. Moving on, with regards to blood draws or blood donation, if the blood that is taken from an individual is regarded as being a small amount, then he or she does not have to make up that day. But if the blood is considered to be a large amount, then he should make up that day so as to avoid any area of scholarly dispute, because there's a slight difference of opinion when it comes to large amounts of blood. So when it comes to donating, it is best that it be done after sunset, after breaking your fast, and not whilst fasting. And how do we arrive at this conclusion? We have a hadith in Abu Dawood where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is reported to have said, the cupper and the one to whom cupping is being done, cupping, you know, where you take the blood out, both have broken their fast. So an analogy is taken from this, where cupping obviously involves a lot of blood, unlike with a amount of blood that is taken for a blood test. So if it's a little amount of blood that is taken, it does not invalidate the fast. But if it is a large amount of blood, then yes, it does break your fast. Along with that, you have certain common concerns. Tasting food. A lot of people tend to ask as to whether it is, especially the women folk, as to whether it is permissible to taste food. Because otherwise they're concerned that the spread for iftar might be too salty. The samosas may be too salty. So tasting food is generally considered permissible, if necessary. Again, provided nothing is swallowed in big quantity. A little bit can be placed on the tongue for tasting purposes, and the one doing so must immediately rinse his or her mouth. So it is only tasting and no nutritional value is taken from it. Using perfume during the month of Ramadan, is it permissible or not? It is permissible. Perfume does not invalidate the fast. It is permissible. Applying lip balm, is it permissible? Because at times, even in our context, it's very hot, and because we're not hydrating ourselves, you tend to have dry lips. Is it permissible to apply lip balm? Yes, it is permissible to apply lip balm, because you have to apply the rationale. Are you eating the lip balm? If it is going into you, if you are worried that you might lick it or it might go, you might ingest it into you, then avoid it. But if you are able to apply a thin layer on top and not touch it and leave it just for the hydration of your lips, then it is permissible, because it is not something that is considered as breaking your fast. Moving on, you have also people concerned about swimming. Immersing in water is allowed, but again, care should be taken not to swallow the water. One last area before I conclude, and this is with regards to travelers and with regards to pregnant mothers and breastfeeding mothers. The ayah that I read at the beginning, Allah talks about the month of Ramadan. And Allah goes on to establish in that ayah, and this is where I want you all to pay close attention, my dear brothers, because I feel there are a lot of misconceptions in this area. Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. That Allah intends for you ease. He does not want to make things difficult for you. Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want to make things difficult for you. So generally, we have an exception through the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for travelers, for pregnant mothers, and for breastfeeding mothers. If the hardship of fasting reaches such a level that there is fear of harm, remember this principle. If the hardship of fasting reaches a certain level where there is fear of harm, the pregnant mother is fearing harm for herself, harm for her child, The breastfeeding mother fears harm for herself. Perhaps she may not be able to produce enough milk for her child. If there is fear of harm, then it is haram to fast. I hope you heard me right. Not haram not to fast, it is haram to fast. You're not allowed to put your life at stake and fast. You're not allowed, let's say you're ill, you're not allowed to put your life at stake and fast. Islam is a practical religion. You're not allowed to put your child's life at stake and fast. At that juncture, you must break your fast. These are the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the hadith recorded in the book of Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning a traveler who fasted, even though he was traveling, it is not righteousness to fast when traveling. You see, you have certain people, when they're traveling, they say, no, I want to fast. Why? Because I can fast. And they think that to be righteousness, to fast when traveling. Look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one, it is not righteousness to fast when traveling. Another narration, another incident, some of the Sahaba fasted on a journey. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at them and he said, those are the disobedient ones. Those are the disobedient ones. Why? Because a concession has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why are you not taking hold of that concession? The teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very clear in this regard. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha is reported to have said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was given the choice between two things, he would always choose the easier option unless it was a sin. If it was a sin, he would stay away from it as much as possible. But generally, if he were to be given two options, he would choose the easier option. So when traveling, if there is permissibility to break the fast, then the messenger would break the fast. And these are the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Allah loves to see his concessions accepted and he hates to be disobeyed. So if Allah has given you a concession when traveling that you may break your fast, then Allah loves to see this concession on you. If Allah has given you a concession that you may shorten your prayers when traveling, then Allah loves to see this concession on you. But some of us, we tend to have a very skewed and warped understanding of all of this. We tend to throw the concession aside and say, you know what? No, I'm going to pray the full prayer. We throw the concession aside and say, you know what? I'm going to fast. And by doing so, we make it difficult upon ourselves. We make it difficult upon the people traveling with us. Because you may be going for a certain purpose. It may be a business trip. It may be something. Let's say you're going on a project with others. And now you make it very cumbersome for the others because they are concerned. They feel odd eating in front of you. You're tired. You're drained. You go to your destination and you're not able to give it your all. You're not able to engage in what you went for. You become a burden. Islam is a practical religion, my dear brothers in Islam. So look at it through the pure and authentic teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So similarly, pregnant mothers and breastfeeding mothers are allowed to break the fast. It is permissible for them to break their fast. And what is supposed to be done with regards to these three categories, travelers, pregnant mothers and breastfeeding mothers, if they break their fast, it is upon them to make up the fast after the month of Ramadan. So let's say a traveler were to miss 5 fasts from the month of Ramadan, then after Ramadan, it is upon him or her to make up that fast. Similarly, pregnant mothers are supposed to make up the fast later on after the month of Ramadan at a time when it is convenient for them. The same applies for breastfeeding mothers. So in conclusion, let us remember that Ramadan, this beautiful month, is not just about staying away from food and drink. It is a time, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to stay away from negative words, from negative actions, from negative thoughts. Some of us, we tend to only focus on the food and the drink, but our minds and hearts are not tamed, are not disciplined. Our tongue is not disciplined. We tend to break hearts. We tend to say rude things. We tend to use swear words. We tend to lie. We tend to gossip. Then what is the point of this month of Ramadan? This month of Ramadan is to discipline yourself. It is to discipline your heart. It is to discipline your limbs. It is to tame yourself. Shaitan has been removed from the equation. Why? You see, the effect of shaitan is not there in the month of Ramadan because he is shackled. It is to help you to tame yourself, to discipline yourself, to align yourself with that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not only about staying away from food and drink. It is also about disciplining yourself, getting yourself closer to that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying away from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it a negative word, be it a negative action, be it whatever toxic, stay away from it. Strive to bring in positive thoughts into your heart. Strive to bring in positive thoughts about others. Strive to have a smile on your face. Try to mend hearts, not break hearts. Try to unite people, not split people, split families, split communities. Try to instill as much good as you can during this month of Ramadan. Strive to embody the principles of sabr, patience, compassion, and solidarity. Let us strive, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to observe this month of Ramadan with full adherence to the practices that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practices that benefit us in this life as well as the hereafter. I'm sure you might have other questions as well. This is a good opportunity. Why I discussed this, I wanted this to serve as a stepping stone. If you have more questions, if you have more clarifications, reach out to scholars that you know. Go to them humbly, sit down and ask them the questions. Just as how, before you go into anything, you educate yourself. This is the deen of Allah. This is a beautiful month of Ramadan. You may have doubts, you may have clarifications. Perhaps it may be with regards to fasting, it may be with regards to the ibadah during the month of Ramadan, it may be with regards to zakah, because a lot of people give out their zakat during the month of Ramadan. How do you calculate it? Who am I supposed to give it to? So on and so forth. You may have all these questions. Go educate yourself and do these acts of worship with knowledge and not with ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open doors of beneficial knowledge for all of us. May Allah accept our fasts. Ameen. May He accept our prayers and may He accept our good deeds. And just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.